Meeting of the House Judiciary Committee to order. It is nine, well, I just got told somebody needs to be someplace. 9:35 on Saturday, May 11th, 2019. Before we begin, I want to thank Robert Montenegro, the House Judiciary Secretary, who makes sure we have a transcript of our meetings, and Eileen Kim from the Juneau LIO, who makes sure we have sound. At this time, I want to remind all members of the committee and everyone in the room to please silence your cell phones. Present today, we have Representative Wool, Representative Shaw, Representative Stutes, and myself, Representative Clayman, the chair. We have a quorum to conduct business. Our first order of business today is Senate Bill 71, 2019 Revisers Bill, sponsored by the Senate Rules Committee by request of the Legislative Council. This is the second hearing of the bill in the Judiciary Committee. We did receive two amendments, and we will take up those amendments. I'd like to put on the record that Legislative Legal has permission to make any technical and conforming changes to the bill. We'll begin with Amendment Number One. Representative Stutes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move Amendment Number One.
And I'll briefly object for purposes of discussion and just note that this was the amendment that we talked about yesterday that the reviser has supported.
Adding or deleting telegraph and insert or telegraph.
And with that brief explanation, I will remove my objection. Is there any further objection to Amendment Number One?
Telephone or telegraph. Oh, to delete or telegraph, seeing as we have no more telegraph services. For sure? For sure?
All right. Any objection to Amendment Number One? Hearing and seeing and none, and I will note as we get to Amendment Number Two that we did speak, although Representative Eastman is not here, we did speak with the reviser. They have no objection to Amendment Number Two, so could I have a motion for Amendment Number Two?
Mr. Chair, I move Amendment Number Two.
And is there any objection to Amendment Number Two? Hearing and seeing none, Representative Eastman, amendment passes without him actually moving it. That brings the bill back before us. I don't have any further amendments besides Amendment Number One and Amendment Number Two. Bill's back before us. Any final comments from members of the committee? Hearing and seeing none, may I have a motion?
You certainly may, Mr. Chair. I move Version 31-LS0095/S of Senate Bill 71 as amended with individual recommendations and attached fiscal note.
Hearing no objection, Senate Bill 71 will move from committee by a vote of 4-0, and please sign the paperwork as it circulates. Our second order of business is House Bill 115, Absentee Voting, sponsored by Representative Tuck. This is the third hearing of the bill in the Judiciary Committee. Yesterday, we took up amendments to provide a brief recap. Amendment Number One and Two failed, and Amendment Number Three was tabled, and Amendments Number Four through Six also failed. I know there may be a few outstanding questions related to Amendment Number Three. So we have, let me make sure she's here. We have Gail Fenumena is present on the phone and online and available for questions. And so what I would suggest we do is we take a motion to take Amendment Number Three off the table, and then we can ask questions to Ms. Fenumena related to Amendment Number Three. So could I have a motion to take Amendment Number Three off the table?
Mr. Chair, I would move to take Amendment Number Three on House Bill 115 off the table.
Hearing no objection, the amendment is taken off the table. Representative Tuck. Go ahead, Representative Tuck.
Thank you. For the record, Representative Chris Tuck from District 23. Mr. Chairman, in looking at Amendment Number Three a little bit further, I just want to say that I would believe, and I would just would like to confirm that with Ms. Fenumena, that if somebody had wrote on the ballot not at this address, that would be considered undeliverable, which is already in the bill.
So does that mean your view that Amendment Number Three is unnecessary?
It's unnecessary, yes. And I would like to just confirm that with Ms.
Ms. Fenumena, first, I want to make sure I'm pronouncing your name correctly.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. Gail Fenumena from the Division of Elections.
Have you had a chance to review Amendment Number Three as well as the underlying bill?
I have.
Can you tell us what your perspective is on Amendment Number Three?
Through the chair and Representative Tuck and members of the committee, the division would take this information being received by somebody else residing at an address where a ballot was being sent and would factor that into consideration and determine that that voter's condition status should be changed to undeliverable if the division receives notification from this individual. If the ballot is not returned by the person who now lives at that residence address, we won't know if that person should actually be designated as undeliverable and therefore have future ballots canceled. But we would consider this a method in determining an undeliverable status.
And a follow-up question that I have, do you have existing regulations that tell you how to go about determining whether a ballot is undeliverable and how to address that when something comes back, or is that something that you just kind of use your judgment on a case-by-case basis?
Mr. Chairman, I can't recall off the top of my head if there are regulations about it. We do, when we receive mail return from the U.S. Post Office as undeliverable, we are allowed to designate that voter's condition status and change it to undeliverable. That also is one of the factors that the division uses in when we conduct our list maintenance process, according to federal law.
So your list maintenance is actually governed by federal law requirements and not by what we've done in state law?
Correct, Mr. Chairman. State of Alaska's list maintenance laws are formulated based on federal law in the National Voter Registration Act.
Any other questions from members of the committee? Representative Stutz and then Representative Wolf.
Thank you. Through the chair, just so I'm real clear on this, it sounds like what you're saying is this particular amendment would be redundant. Is that what I'm hearing?
Through the chair, Representative Stutz, I believe so, yes. I mean, if the individual who now resides in that house contacts the division and says this person no longer lives here, we would ask them to please return that ballot and indicate so on their voter no longer resides at this address, and we would take that as an undeliverable ballot.
Thank you. Thank you kindly.
Representative Wool.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ms. Fanumiai, the question came up, this is unrelated to this amendment, but the question came up yesterday of how much it costs to mail out a ballot, and Representative Eastman said $2.50. So the implication was that for every ballot you don't mail, you save $2.50. I just wanted to verify that, or if that was just sort of, if you take up the full cost of the program divided by the number of voters, that's the number. And in fact, if you don't mail one or two ballots, you don't really save that per ballot. Does that make sense?
Through the chair, Representative Bull, yes, that does make sense. The dollar amount we gave Representative Eastman on a per ballot cost was basically the cost of all the envelopes we need, the instructions, the printing cost for the envelopes, the instructions, the printing cost for the ballot, and postage. So yes, at this we would be saving $2.50 based on the last batch of printing that we did if we did not have to mail an individual a ballot.
Follow up.
Representative Wolf, follow up.
So is it that simple, a per piece, or that's just what the whole program costs, and then if you don't mail out 5 or 10 or 100, you don't really save that much money?
Through the chair, Representative Wolf, that is the cost of a per ballot package based on an average of our supplies that we've ordered over the past several years. So I would say I would like to clarify that it probably is not a consistent per ballot charge, and we would still have those supplies available because we do order in bulk just because we don't know what the number of our by-mail voters are going to be from election to election.
Okay, thank you. That's what I was thinking.
Representative Suits.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. That was going to be my question, is once you mail out these ballots, do you ever have supplies left over? But you've already answered that question, so that certainly would reduce the cost per ballot. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
I would just suspect that the The one fixed cost and all that is the postage, which does get saved. But I've been involved in enough printing invoices that you really do pay significantly less per piece if you're ordering 100,000 than if you're ordering 100. So, okay, I don't see any other questions. We've taken Amendment 3 off the table, so that is before us. And I have not removed my objection to Amendment Number 3, so let's take up, call the roll for Amendment Number 3.
All right. I don't have it in front of me, so I'm not sure what we're addressing here.
I think the position of the bill sponsor is to no longer support Amendment Number 3.
Okay, I got it now. Yep. All right. I'm with you. That's...
Okay. Please call the roll. Mm-hmm.
Representative Bull.
No.
Representative Eastman is not present. Representative Shaw.
No.
Representative Kopp is not present. Representative Stutes.
No.
Representative Thompson.
No.
Mr. Chair, that is zero nay, or zero yay, four nay.
So by a vote of 0-4, Amendment Number 3 has failed. That brings the bill back before us. Does anyone have closing comments as to the House Bill 115? I'd note that Representative Eastman has joined us. Representative Eastman, we just took up Amendment Number 3. That was defeated by a vote of 0-4, and the bill is back before us for final comments. Anyone have final comments on House Bill 115?
I have a question.
Representative Wolf.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The question of special elections, was that resolved? As yesterday, there's listed as all regular elections would get a ballot, and I didn't know if that included special elections, and that seemed a little bit unresolved.
Representative. Oh, Ms. Venumani.
Yes, sir.
Under the provisions of the bill as proposed, would people automatically get a ballot for a special election as well as a primary and a general election under this proposed revision to the statutes?
Mr. Chairman, I am not an attorney, but to me the term regularly would mean a consistently scheduled election. So when looking at this, I would say a regularly scheduled state election is a state primary and a state general.
Okay. So actually, before we get to final vote on the bill, I'll ask the bill sponsor a question. If your interest is to try to cover special elections as well as primary and general elections that are state elections, would your preference be to try to take this up if and when the bill gets to the floor, or would you like us to, as the bill sponsor, I would be willing to hold the bill, although at the current season there's no telling when we'll have a hearing again. I'd be willing to hold the bill to allow you to offer an amendment to clarify the special election question before committee, or we can pass it recognizing that you may want to make a motion on the floor, and I'll leave that as the bill sponsor to your preferences.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chair. I think it would be a non-controversial floor vote to go ahead and sponsor an amendment that allows it to be for all state elections.
Okay. So it sounds like you're comfortable with us moving forward with the bill, so I will open it up for final comments. Final comments on House Bill 115. Representative Eastman.
Thank you. Well, I see that we're going to be expanding absentee voting, or at least the frequency of absentee voting, through the bill, and I'm a little concerned that we're not putting any additional checks in to ensure that that is effective cost-wise, and that there aren't people who will abuse that process.
Any further comments on House Bill 115? Representative Stutes.
I would just like to make the comment that I'm happy to see this, because I think it's going to enable a lot of people to vote that don't currently vote. You know, some of our elders and people that have a difficult time getting to the polls. So I think this is a good thing for the people of Alaska. Thank you for bringing it forward.
I know.
Representative Wolf.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I agree with Representative Stutes for all the same reasons, that anything that helps people vote. I'm not concerned about erring on the side of too many ballots if people don't use them. They can also just bring them into the polling place if they really want to go to if they get their absentee ballot, they can always just bring it to the polling place as well. So that way they can do two things that they like to do. But I think it's a good bill.
And I will echo those sentiments. I saw a picture in a newspaper recently looking at the history of voting in South Africa, and they were showing the first voting in 1994 when they went to open elections, and there were just long, long lines of people waiting to vote. And I think they had something in the order of over 95% of the nation voted. And I always wish that America would be at those levels, but we have seen in Anchorage going to the ballot by mail that we've actually seen a significant increase in participation in the municipal elections. And so while I know we're not quite ready for that level in the state, I think anything that really improves voting is good for democracy, and I think this is a good bill. Did you want to make some comments? Representative Shaw, go ahead.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I echo as well the positive values of this bill. And I just want to say we probably could save a lot more money with this bill than we can with the amount of amendments that sometimes follow through on a bill. And so I think we're way ahead of the game by passing this bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Shaw. All right. Could I have a motion?
You may. Mr. Chair, I move version 31-LS0213/A of House Bill 115 as amended with individual amendments.
No amendments.
with individual recommendations and attached fiscal note.
Hearing no objection, House Bill 115 passes from committee. Please stay after we finish to sign the paperwork. And I would just note, Representative Eastman, you didn't arrive on schedule, but your amendment number two, there was another member of the committee that moved amendment number two, and it passed without objection. So your first amendment passed this year, even though you weren't here to see it happen. And with that, we will adjourn for the day. We are not meeting tomorrow, Sunday, the 12th of September, I think we have, or May, we have a meeting scheduled for Monday, but I'm not sure what we're doing on Monday. So stay tuned, watch the...
Mr. Chair, I have before you gavel out, just for the record, on the e-bikes bill that passed yesterday, I wanted to thank the committee. Also, I made a comment that it's helping more elderly people. What I meant to say was older people, including people in my age bracket that might want to do more bike riding, especially with younger people. Now I can keep up with them. So I didn't mean to say elderly. I meant to say, you know,
Thank you. Those.
I can keep up with people like Representative Shaw. And yourself, Chair Klayman.
Well, all I can say is I don't ride my bike to the top of the hill to jump off the top. And with that, we will stand adjourned. It is 10:52 a.m.